Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we pause this morning hour to reminisce, to think upon your greatness, to consider your statutes, to ponder the wisdom of thy precepts, desiring, Lord, to build our lives upon your word, desiring to be that house, to be that life whose foundation is built upon the rock, where the life, the fruit, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is manifested to the world around us. Lord, as we've taken this time this morning to gather together, to sing praises to Thee, and to hear from You, Lord, from Your Word, we ask in a special way that You might have the preeminence over this service, over the preaching of Your Word, Lord, that You might be lifted up, exalted, glorified, and magnified. You see into the deepest secrets of our hearts. We're praying today that even those might be made manifest to us, that we might know how to serve You acceptably, and that we might be made aware of any areas in our life that are not acceptable to You, areas that You're desiring to purify, to change, to refine. And Father, as we come to You this morning, I sense my need of You, and I just cry out that You might feed Your people, Father. We thank You for the tremendous example of how You fed them in the wilderness, in a desert land, with physical manna and spiritual water and physical water. And now we know that You desire to feed us with spiritual manna and spiritual water this morning through the moving of Your Holy Spirit. So I just desire to, in all my weakness, present myself to You that You might be lifted up in some way, and that Your Word, Your truth, might be exalted and lifted up this morning, that it might have the preeminence. Bless each one that is gathered here. Lord, we ask that You might be the Lord of each heart and of each life that is here. And where that is not the case, if any heart that is here that is not surrendered to You as their Lord and King, we pray this morning that sometime through this service, Your Spirit would minister to their hearts and You would be drawing them to that place of complete surrender, yieldedness to Jesus Christ. We're praying that Your will would be perfected in each of our lives through this time, and that You would honor Your Word, and You would strengthen us, open our understanding, give us ears to hear and hearts to perceive and receive the truth of Your Word. We pray Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. Thank you for those thoughts that have been shared. I've been encouraged. I was thinking of... before I start, I wanted to say, I don't know if someone mentioned it last Sunday. I wasn't here, but just as a pastor here, one of the pastors, I want to bless you for the effort you put into working together at the benefit barbecue a week before last. God bless you. It was a blessing to my heart. I just want to encourage you. The way you worked together and made this happen, a blessing to the church. So thank you very much. May we continue to go to walk that way and to be a blessing to one another and working together in the things of God for the church, for His glory. For in these things we believe He is glorified. Amen. In all these things, opportunities to just work together and to encourage one another. The fellowship was a blessing and so many different ways. Okay, this morning we're continuing our study in 1 Corinthians 13. We're looking at verse 7, starting here this morning. And I must say that the text here overwhelms me quite a bit. I desire to, by God's grace, to share some thoughts here this morning. Maybe you'll continue to ponder these thoughts. The truth, I've been amazed at the truth of God's Word. Many times, myself being a human being, sometimes after a conversation or even after a message, I ponder over what I said, and I know I made a lot of words and I made a noise and a lot of words and expressions. And sometimes I wonder how much I really got sad. And I'm amazed that, and as we look into God's Word, how much He can say in just one, two, or three little words. God can say so much. All His words are to the point. They all have a purpose, and they're just packed with content, depth, meaning, and wealth that you and I are spending the rest of our life trying to mine the wealth that is in the words that God speaks. And I must say that that I marvel at how much God can say in a few words. I want to learn some more of that. I pray that He'll continue working in my life so that I can speak that way in a smaller way. I wanted to mention here, in verse 6, we considered, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, but charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. We expounded on that some, and then, but rejoiceth in the truth. And I know I didn't share as much on rejoicing in the truth there as the first part of that verse, but I was clear to leave that, and I believe the message came through as to the distinction that is made in that verse. How true love, or the love of God, does not rejoice, does not condone, does not take part in any iniquity. It doesn't do that. It doesn't hide or cover it. But it rejoices in the truth. It lifts it up. Hallelujah. Now as we look here in verse 7, charity beareth all things. We want to ponder on these words this morning and ask God for wisdom and grace to reveal to us His heart in this passage. The Apostle Paul said this here in his writing to the first Corinthians, or to the Corinthians there, and he was dealing with, evidently there were issues that the church there was struggling with, dealing with. One of the things it seems like, especially in my introduction to this chapter, I had shared how chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is placed right in between chapter 12 and chapter 14. It's right in the middle there of all these gifts that Paul was writing about. And it seems to me that it was obvious that they were putting a wrong emphasis or more emphasis on certain gifts, and they were thinking themselves to be more spiritual because they had particular gifts. And Paul comes through here in this chapter, and I think it's earlier on in 1 Corinthians here where he talks about them being divisive, doesn't he? And having, are you not yet carnal? Doesn't he say that? Having these, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there are among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? So that's some of the issue of what Paul's dealing with. And notice this phrase here, charity beareth all things. And like I said, I don't feel like I can convey to you the depth of what God has intended in those three words to the church. But I want, my heart is as the local body here this morning. And if you're a visitor here, welcome. We welcome you, and maybe you can take something home with you. But especially I'm preaching here to the local church as we interact, relate to each other, as we live together, and we see each other on a weekly basis. Some of us work together. And all these things, we can learn something here this morning, not just on how to relate to each other, but also to everyone we meet. Charity beareth all things. What is Paul saying? The word beareth here is an interesting Greek word that's only used 4 times in the New Testament, and on all 4 times by Paul in his epistles. It's used twice in 1 Thessalonians, speaking there of, he says, when I could not forbear, in other words, when I couldn't bear it any longer, I had to know your estate, and I sent whoever he sent there in 1 Thessalonians 3. So it's used in that sense, and it's used one other time in 1 Corinthians here, and we're going to be looking at that. And I'll be honest here, as I looked at some of the commentaries and some of the thoughts here, the translators struggled with how to translate this word. Some of the translations today read that charity covers all things. And that concept, that perspective is there. But as I pondered on that, as I prayed about it, in my own heart, I didn't have as much of a peace. I had more of a peace, and it seemed more clearing to me that Paul is saying here to the Corinthians that charity bears all things, just like it's translated here, which in a sense can take in, covers. We know in 1 Peter, I think, or is it 2 Peter, where it says that charity covers a multitude of sins. So some of the translators use that, and I believe that could be applied. But this morning, I felt like the Lord gave me a message from this. this word. And let's look at the other place that it's used here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. This word is a Greek word stego. It means to roof over. And it comes from stege, which literally means a roof. Stege is used in the Gospels where Jesus, the centurion, came to Jesus and he said, don't bother coming to my house. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. That's the word, roof there. And this word comes from that word. Some more definitions in the Strong's are to cover with silence, endure patiently, to forbear or suffer. So they've struggled a little bit in exactly how to translate this. Let's go on here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12 is where it's used. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather, Paul's saying to the church there at Corinth. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And that word suffer there is the same word. We suffer all things. We suffer all things. We will endure patiently or cover with silence. In other words, we don't exert our rights. We're not taken up with ourselves. And if there's anything that I would say, just like it's been going as we've been doing this study, looking down through these definitions or characteristics of true love, this definition goes directly against selfishness and self. It goes directly against that. Self cries out for justice. Like Ben shared there in 1 Peter, self says, I must be heard. And I was challenged this morning. It says, he threatened not. I have done that. I have threatened already when someone has wronged me. Even in a Christian sense, I've threatened them judgment in a way that wasn't right. It was a selfish way. And that stood out to me this morning, just as a side note. That little phrase in there, he threatened not. He had all the power to do with those men what he wanted, in a sense. But he didn't use that to vindicate himself one bit. It was a complete selflessness. And that's what's implied here. True love will pick up the burdens of those who are suffering. This is some of the thoughts that we want to be considering. I want us to notice, I don't believe in this verse here, in verse 7, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. I don't believe it's just an enduring. We're going to cover that later on in this verse when we get to endure, because it would be just a repetition. There's a distinction here in what Paul is saying. And also, back in verse 4, it says charity suffers long. And again in verse 5, it says, seeketh not her own. So those are, I don't believe Paul's saying the same thing three or four times in this passage. But each of them has a different emphasis. Each of them covers a little bit of a different detail or basis in our lives as we consider them. So there is a distinction, I believe, between love bearing all things and enduring all things. And I want to consider that. As I pondered over this verse, I believe what Paul is telling us, a lot of the in verse 4, in verse 5, and even in verse 6, part of it there, Paul is giving us the definition of charity through what's called negation. I taught you that word. It means by telling us what it is not. He's giving us a clear definition of what true love is by telling us what it is not. Now he changes that, and it's very positive. And true love is not just doing that, but true love is a very positive influence in our life that empowers us, that motivates us on how to live and how to relate to others. And it kind of turns here in verse 6, but especially in this verse, he's telling us the positive influence or the positive power that comes from a man or that is evident in the life of a person who is being governed by this love. He shows us and tells us some of the characteristics that we can observe in that person's life of true love. There's a difference. And also I want to say, and so there's a power here that comes in bearing all things, in enduring all things. Love is powerful all the way through, I want to say that. But it takes on more of a positive trend here, if you can allow me to say that, and bear with me here. The first two, in the fact that love suffers long and love is not easily provoked, we have the picture that love is powerful enough to restrain our flesh. When we are living by the law of God's love and His love is living in us, it is powerful enough to restrain the flesh. That's what I'm saying. It's powerful enough to hold us back. It's powerful enough to not retaliate. What I'm saying here, in the fact that love bears all things and endures all things, love is a powerful influence in our life, and it will triumph over suffering or over the burdens and the challenges that we face in this life. It can triumph, not only hold us back from responding like our flesh would, but it can empower us to triumph in the middle of burdens or trials or challenges. Love does that. Hallelujah. There are no burdens or sufferings that are too heavy or too hard for God's love to bear. There are no burdens you'll face. There's no suffering that can swallow you up or overwhelm you if you're living a life that is filled with the love of God. Can you think of one burden that is too heavy for God's love to bear? Can you think of one burden that is too heavy for God's love to bear? Charity beareth all things. Can you think of any suffering that is too great for God's love to bear? Can you think of any suffering this morning that hasn't been endured, hasn't been borne by Christians over the centuries or Jesus Christ Himself? Can you think of one suffering that you can give to me this morning that God's love is not able to triumph through that suffering, to bear it and triumph through it? There's no suffering, is there? If we are completely surrendered to the love of God, this love will triumph in the midst of suffering, in the midst of challenge. It is able to bear all things. Paul's telling us here that there are no challenges that God's love cannot bear. This is a staggering statement. Even this morning, sometimes we're overwhelmed. Sometimes we face challenges. Sometimes I see something in my brother's, my sister's life that causes me to a challenge in my life. Sometimes those things happen. That's real. We live here on earth. We have relationships. Sometimes those disappoint us. But I want to say to us, that makes it all the more essential that our life is filled with the love of God. So that even through those situations, those challenges, we can triumph. We can triumph. Love is powerful. Sometimes we as men think of power, and we think of the different levels of power. You have the law of gravity is very powerful. If you don't believe it, try to jump. The law of gravity is very powerful. If you don't think so, jump from a building. The law of gravity will take over. But then we have the law of aerodynamics that can defy the law of gravity. Can defy the law of gravity. Think of this now in a spiritual sense. There's the law of sin, the law of sin and death, which each of us have come under because of sin and because of our sinful nature. Each of us fall under that law of sin and death from birth. We're under that law of sin and death. The law came. God's law came. And this law is very powerful. They found a man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath, and they put him to death. That was the power of that law. The law of Moses had the power to put a man to death because he was obedient to God's law. It was a very powerful law. But the law of sin was even more powerful than that law. Romans 7 says that sin taking occasion of the law and by it slew me. Sin took advantage of the law and used it against us. But I want you to consider this morning that love, the law of love, as used in the New Testament, is the most powerful law in the spiritual life. It is the most powerful law. It's more powerful than the law of sin and death. It's more powerful than the law of Moses. The law of God's love. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, if you do this, you will fulfill the whole law. That law is more powerful than sin even. If it is allowed to reign in our hearts and lives. The thing that really stood out to me in this passage, that love bears all things, indicates the power to choose to pick up the burdens of others and to bear them. It chooses to suffer in, or to enter into the suffering of others. I believe one aspect of what Paul is telling us here, that this love is powerful enough to pick up other burdens. It's powerful enough to enter into the suffering of our brothers and sisters and lift them up. It's powerful enough to bear those burdens with them. And that's why I like it better than just covers all things, but it bears all things. This love, this true love, as this characteristic of love is telling us that we have the possibility, we have the power as a Christians to bear the burdens of others. And we'll look at some verses that tell us that. We have the opportunity, so my brother or my sister is having a burden. He's having a burden to bear in his life. And when I have love reigning in my heart, I have the power, I have the grace to come alongside that brother and that sister and join them in that burden and help them bear their burden. In this phrase, later in this verse, that charity endureth all things. To me, this is the power to gloriously triumph in whatever challenges we have coming our own way. This is the power that we can, love gives us the power to triumph over everything, as Romans 8 says. What can separate us from the love of God? When we have the power to endure to the end, if we are walking in this love, and this love is living in us. But the thing that blessed me, and maybe you can correct me later, but as I meditated on this, it blessed me so much. This phrase, beareth all things, is also a positive. It's a positive statement. I can through the love of God, I can relieve the burdens of my brother and my sister. I can enter into their suffering and share it with them and help them to bear that burden. Love bears all things. An example of this, let's turn to Mark chapter 2. As I meditated on this, I thought of this account, and it stood out to me. This is what I'm, maybe it's not coming through clear. I want to use this to kind of give you my thoughts. Mark chapter 2, reading in verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room left to receive them. There was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, notice that, plural. When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the thought I want to leave with you this morning, true love sees the need. These men, says he was born of four. This man, their friend, was sick of the palsy. He could not help himself. He was laying on his bed at home. He couldn't help himself. But there were four men, these man's friends, that saw the need this man had. They saw this need. And they chose to help. They chose to pick up this burden. And they knew where to go with him, didn't they? They chose to bear this burden to Jesus Christ and come into the presence of Jesus Christ with their friend, their brother, whoever he was, and they found help. And it says Jesus Christ acknowledged their faith. It was their faith. It was their effort. It was their faith initially that motivated them to pick this man up and bring him to Jesus Christ. It was their faith that when they got to the front door and they couldn't get in, they went up on the roof, they took the roof off. It was their faith that did that and lowered him down right in front of Jesus. They entered into his burden. You see what I'm saying? And when I think of this phrase, charity bears all things. As charity, Menno Simons once said, the true evangelical faith cannot lie dormant. Either he said it cannot or it does not. I'm not sure. But I don't believe it can. The true evangelical faith cannot lie dormant. It clothes the naked. It feeds the hungry, helps the poor, visits the sick, and preaches the gospel to all. The true evangelical faith, as you're going through life, you see a need. And that need becomes your own burden. Because you pick it up. And you take that burden to Christ. You can enter into that burden, I believe, and bear it with your brother, your sister. You can enter into their suffering. And pray for them. And help them and help relieve their load. Whether it's through a word of encouragement, through just maybe they never even know it. Maybe they never even, you never tell them, but you go home, get on your knees in your own prayer room and you start to pray for them and lift them up before God. And you're bearing their burden. You're entering into their burden. Charity bears all things. It'll do that. It'll pick up those burdens that it sees. This is no little issue. If you turn to Matthew chapter 25, we realize that judgment came to these people in relation to how they responded to the needs they met in life. Matthew 25, starting to read in verse 31. I don't think I'll take the time to read this portion of Scripture, but you know what happened here. Jesus said to them, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I had a burden and you picked it up. You helped me with my burden. You helped me bear my burden. I was suffering and you entered into my suffering. Identified with me and bore it with me. These men, the righteous said, Lord, when did we see thee? They didn't even realize they were consciously doing this. But as they travel through life, this evangelical faith that cannot lie dormant, as they travel through life and they saw this need here and this need there, they just met the need. They just ministered to those people. They entered into those burdens. See, this strikes directly at the root of selfishness or individualism. Individualism is not... The only picture we have of individualism in the Bible is that of Satan when he said, I will. And that didn't turn out well. But this is, God says clearly to us in 1 John that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the good evidence that we have that we love God is that we love our brothers, isn't it? And God tells us how we love them. You cannot separate those two. We cannot just go through life individualistic, independent, living our own way, walking past the needs of others. That's not the true evangelical faith. That's not the life of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is look at Him for an example this morning. This love is powerful. Very powerful. Like I said here in Matthew 25, this is no little issue. Some went to the right hand and some to the left. They were judged by how they responded to the needs they met in life. In the lives of others, by the way. They were judged. And He said to them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. These things are important. As I started meditating on this, I was deeply challenged. Love bears all things. Love beareth all things. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Notice this prophecy that Jesus read here. And as He's reading it, He closed it in verse 21 and said, This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. Notice what the prophecy was. Luke 4 verse 18, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the prophecy that Christ fulfilled. He came in life. He came into this world. And I believe every time He walked, every time He went anywhere, He observed. He was aware of the needs of the people that He met. And He made those needs. He took them upon Himself. And we have an example of this phrase that love, charity, beareth all things. And we have the example of it lived out in the life of Jesus Christ. It bore those infirmities. It bore those iniquities. It met that leper man who couldn't live with his family. The day came when that leper man, he was told by the people in his city, you have to leave. And he was sure he would never again hold his child in his arms. He would never again embrace his wife. He would never again enjoy life that way. But when Jesus Christ met that man and his burden, He changed it, didn't He? He bore that burden. And He healed this man and sent him home to his family. He made a difference everywhere He went. The needs of the people were His needs. He took them upon Himself. Aren't you glad this morning? I had to think of one account in the Old Testament. Keep your finger here. We'll be back in the New Testament shortly. But in Numbers chapter 11, this just stood out to me this morning. Numbers chapter 11, thinking of this, Moses was a type of Christ in many ways. And yet, the law came through Moses, didn't it? So in that sense, he's a type of the law. But notice what he says here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. I'm going to read this passage. Then Moses heard the people. It's Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And look what Moses says. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldst say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father, beareth the sucking child unto the land. Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? Because they had asked for flesh to eat. For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. It's interesting to hear. Moses is saying, he's recognizing that he can't do it. And he's saying, don't let me see my wretchedness. Don't let me see my inability to bear these burdens. It was before grace in the new covenant. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men out of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. And thou shalt, that thou bear it, not thyself alone. And I just share this as an example. This was Moses as a type of the law. The law couldn't bear this. But it says in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. The law came by Moses. But Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. I should have wrote that down. And it just blessed me, the contrast. And I'm not faulting Moses this morning. The burden he had was too heavy to bear, because not only was he under the law, but all these people were under the law. They didn't have grace themselves. But I want to say this morning that love, the love of God, is able to bear all things. We see it in Jesus Christ, full of the love of God, full of grace and full of truth. This love that beareth all things comes from above, and is nothing less than the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Again, I thought of John 3:16. It says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God saw the need. And I believe Jesus Christ saw the need of mankind. He saw the tremendous burden of mankind's needs. They saw the need, and He took upon Himself that burden. He took upon Himself that burden. And by God's grace, He was able to bear it, wasn't He? And we read the verse, Brother Ben had the verse this morning in 1 Peter, and it encouraged me so much. This was a confirmation to my own heart. I had that verse down and didn't even realize you're going to be sharing on that this morning. By Himself, bear our sins in His own body. There's never a greater example of the need of mankind and how Christ entered into that burden and took it upon Himself and made a difference. That's what I'm speaking about this morning. When I tell you that love is powerful enough to bear all things, it can empower us enough to take the burdens of others on our back, in a sense, whatever that burden is, and enter into their burden and reach out to them and make a difference in their life. As I've meditated on this, this is a very good missionary verse. This phrase, it bears all things. Love cannot walk by the need that it sees. Love doesn't have blinders on when you're walking through life. Love is, the love of God in our hearts is very aware of that needy person you see and you meet. And when love is governing in our hearts and through is leading our lives and love is filling our lives, love will stop. Love will make a difference. Love will say a word. Love will speak. Love will help lift the burden on that brother or that sister. The true love of God will always do that. It bears all things. Love compelled him to take up the cross. Love gave him the power to endure to the end. We'll consider that later in this verse. Isaiah 53. I guess we're still in the Old Testament here. You can turn there quickly. I want to read a few verses. Notice this. Isaiah 53. As we're talking about Christ bearing in His own body. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Notice the phrases here. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. It was upon Him, not on us anymore. He took it from us and placed it on Himself. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him. He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And he made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make it His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, and He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul, and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Notice it there. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He will divide the spoil with the strong. Because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Notice how many times in that phrase, that picture is there. We have the picture of God laying this burden, this great burden of sin that would have drowned any man other than Jesus Christ. This great burden. He took this great burden of the whole world and placed it on the back or on the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He bore His sins to the cross and was faithful even to the cross, the death on the cross. And then we can look at that great verse in 1 Peter 2:24 we heard this morning. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto the righteousness. By whose stripes, unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What a blessing. Again in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28 it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. How does this affect you and I? My heart this morning is to, in a small way, convey to you this love. And the characteristic that this love has, that it can bear all things. It has the power to bear all things. And it will take upon itself those burdens. Remember the quote of Menno Simons. The true evangelical faith cannot lie dormant. As it goes through life and it sees the needs in life, it makes a difference. It reaches out. It says a word. True love, having its way in our lives, will enable us, will give us the power to help bear the burdens of others. Love sees that brother, that sister, or that neighbor, if you will, burdened down, and love will willingly reach out and help bear that burden. Making some application here to ourselves in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul's writing to the church at Galatia. And he says these words. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I would really enjoy having more discussion on that later, sometime, as we maybe this afternoon at the fellowship meal. But what is it? What is the law of Christ? What is the law of Christ? Paul's saying here to the church at Galatia, the Galatian church that if you bear one another's burdens, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Another place I think it talks about the law of liberty in Christ Jesus. What is the law of Christ? Whatever it is, this is the fulfillment of that law. To bear one another's burdens. To think of my brother, my sister, to enter into their struggles. And I think their suffering. Their suffering and their challenges. And to bear it with them. In Romans 15, we have kind of the same verse again says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We that are strong. This is a sign of strength in your Christian life. If you can bear the infirmities of the weak and not please yourself. That is this evidence of power in your life, by the way. I had to think of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I thought of this Samaritan. You don't have to turn there, but you know the account well. And I thought of this Samaritan that gives us the account there where this man fell among the thieves. And he lay by the roadside. He was half dead, says. And the priest came by and he went over to the other side of the road. And he passed by this man. And then the Levite came along and he walked and he went on the other side of the road and passed by this man. And it gives the account there of the Samaritan. He came along and he saw the condition this man was in. He looked down on that man and he made a conscious choice to enter into this man's burden. He made a conscious choice to enter into this man's suffering. He made a conscious choice to make a difference in the life of this person. And he didn't just walk by. And that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He could not walk by. He not only he reached down and put wine and oil or took him on his donkey to the inn and they put wine and oil in his wounds. But he took the time and he stopped and he lifted that person up and put him on his donkey and he took him to where there was help. That's what you and I are called to do. He bore that man to Jesus. And as we can make a spiritual allegory from that story, you and I meet people on a regular basis. And this is one aspect I want to draw into this, and that is when we witness for Christ. You and I regularly, we meet people that are half dead. They're half dead. They're not spiritually alive. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. They're half dead, like this man was along the road. You and I meet them regularly. And the call in our life is that we don't just pass them by. We don't just pass them by. See, when this man put wine in his wounds, I don't know if you ever put... I put vinegar on some open wounds not too long ago, and it was very, very painful. And it helped me to realize what wine does on a wound. But that's what happened. This man, they cleaned out the wounds, and that's what happened. Sometimes you and I, as we're traveling through life, we meet someone who has a need. This person might not even be aware of the fact that he has a need. I believe the man laying on the side of the road was. But the person you and I meet on a day-to-day basis, he might not be aware of the fact that he's half dead if he's not a Christian. He might not be aware of that. And as you begin to pour some wine into his wounds, sometimes it's not very pretty. And so that's why you and I, many times, we withdraw. We stand back. We don't enter into that person's life. We don't speak to them about Christ because we're afraid. We're afraid of the response. We're afraid of the fear. We have the fear of rejection. Or we don't want to look like a fool. But I'm telling you, this comes into play here. Love bears all things. Love will bear that reproof. Love will bear that rejection out of a heart that wants to help this person. Even if it's pouring wine in his wound in a gracious way. To help him see that the law of God says, the word of God says, the day is coming. You're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account of all that you've done. Are you ready for that day? Just to bring that awareness to him. Love bears all things. It bears reproach. Love will bear reproach in order to minister to that person. It'll bear the cross of Jesus Christ. It'll bear the suffering because it has a heart to preach the gospel to every soul it meets. Love will do that. Love will take the time and stop and help that person because after the wine is poured in, you can pour some oil in too. Hallelujah. You can pour some oil in. You can show, you can do what this man did. You can take him. He took him to the inn. Evidently there was medical help there. He took him where there was help. And that's what we can do. By God's grace, we can take some soul to where there's help. And if we bring him to the person of Jesus Christ, that is the place. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Love bears all things. Love is willing to bear the cross. Love is willing to bear reproach in order to witness the gospel, in order to preach the gospel. It's willing to bear rejection and reproach in order to tell someone the truth. It don't have to be arrogantly. It can be very graciously and in humility. But this world is full of hurting people. They're hurting. They're lost. And they're without God in this world. You and I meet them regularly. Because I want to make this application, because you and I, we see people that are burdened physically. And by all means, let us reach out a hand, especially to one another in the brotherhood here. Let us be aware and be sensitive to one another's burdens, and let's pick them up and carry them. But by all means, we don't see them as much as you do in some countries. You don't see so many physically destitute people, but I want to say we have just as many spiritually destitute people that are full of needs and burdens. Love enables us to open our mouth because there's a need there. There's a burden there. And speak the truth in love. Love empowers us to seek in love, to speak in love to that person, even when we're misunderstood. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. This is one of the aspects that love, when it says love bears all things, it does bear reproach. It can do it triumphantly. It can bear reproach triumphantly, powerfully. Some practical thoughts for you to consider. How about fasting? Fasting for the lost, our extended families, or people you just meet. Are you able to pick up that burden? Does that give you a burden? Am I able to hear about a situation? And most of us have extended family, loved ones that don't know Christ. Are we able to pick that burden up and spend time fasting and praying specifically for that need? I think that's the least we can do. That's where we can start for sure. Most of us who have family that are lost, do you bear that burden on your own heart and lift them continuously, daily, up before the throne of God, interceding on their behalf, fasting and praying for them? It's a good place to start. God's love in our hearts, having His way, will pick up that burden. I had to think of Philemon as Paul's writing this epistle to... who did he write it to? He wrote it to Philemon, didn't he? About Onesimus. He says, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account." I thought of that a lot. And the fact that it says if he's wronged thee, if he oweth thee aught, that implies monetarily. But if he's wronged thee, how can Paul ask him to put that on his account? Think of that. But I encourage you to pray that way for your families, for the lost that we meet. Let us be willing to enter into that burden and be willing to stand in the gap and realize that love bears all things. It bears that burden. One characteristic of charity in our lives will be that it beareth all things. It reaches out and it helps to lift the load. It is willing to deny myself in order to help bear someone else's load. It's willing to deny my own comfort, my own food, my own wants. It's willing to deny that and carry the load of another person, to bear that load with them and for them, and suffering especially. I just scratched the surface here, but it is willing to suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul said earlier here in 1 Corinthians 9. Think of that, even that phrase. Paul says that he was willing to suffer all things. All things is pretty inclusive. But he suffered, evidently. He suffered there. Whether it's just physically, I don't know how it was, but he suffered. And he was willing to bear all things, or to suffer all things, lest he should hinder the gospel of Christ. How much more should we also be willing to suffer all things to encourage or to further the gospel of Christ? Amen? The true evangelical faith cannot lie dormant. It clothes the naked. It feeds the hungry. It helps the poor, visits the sick, and preaches the gospel to all. Charity beareth all things. It wasn't your problem. It wasn't, you can think in your heart, that's not my problem. But when you identify with Jesus Christ and you profess to have His life in you, then your life should reflect His life. And He made it His problem, didn't He? He bore the sins of many. I'm not saying we can bear their sins, but I'm saying we can bear the suffering, the struggling. We can come under those burdens. We can enter into them, and we can bear them by the love that God wants to shed abroad in our hearts. And if that love is there reigning in our hearts, this will be one of the characteristics that will mark that love, that will be evident in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, in my own life, I sense my need of this love. And I desire to grow in this love. You know, I've spoken these words this morning in weakness, for I know I need to hear them myself. Father, I pray for that and for each one that is here this morning, that, Lord, that Your message, somehow in a small way, Your message would come through and would challenge our lives and somehow change the way we think and the way we live from day to day as we meet people. Lord, it's not a heavy burden on our back that we have to do these things. But rather, Lord, as we allow Your love to fill our hearts and our lives, we will do those things. We will. We'll live that way if we're living in the fullness of Your love. And I pray now that this love, this precious love of God that Paul writes so much about in Ephesians 3 and in many ways, that is not able to be comprehended. It's not able to be fathomed. It's not, in my stammering, feeble tongue, I can only begin to speak about it. But there's none of us that can stand up this morning and explain Your love. There's none of us here that can give us a thorough definition of Your love. But You have, through Jesus Christ, You have given us a definition of Your love and how it affects the human life. Father, we desire to live that way. We desire to reflect Your glory. We desire to be the light of the world. We pray this morning that in our weakness You would give us strength. You would raise us up. Fill us with the Holy Ghost in this love of God that passeth knowledge or understanding. Bless each heart that is here. And may Your word bring forth fruit for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.